find a home, set for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken. More time won't matter anymore. Beulah Land, I'm longing for you. And someday on the I'll stand there, my home shall be eternal. Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land, I'm looking now the river where my fame will end in sight. There's just a few more days to labor, then I'll take heavenly flight. Beulah Land, I'm longing for you. And someday on thee I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal. Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land. Beulah Land, I'm longing for you. And
praise the Lord. I hope that's what you're longing for today. Brother Jack, would you come up here and lead us in prayer again at this time? Pray for the service and pray for the pastor that's away and pray for the members, would you, please?
Father, we come to you this morning and just pray that you'll be with everything said and done here today. Be with Clifton as he brings a message. Give him the word to say that you would have him to say and you'd have us to hear. Let us have receptive ears, Father, and open hearts. Let us take in your word and worship every one of them. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to come openly and freely and worship you. We just pray that everything here will be said and done for your honor and glory today. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Take your Bible today, go to Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah chapter 62. I sang that song Beulah Land today. And the scripture that I'm going to read today is the only place in the Word of God that the word Beulah is found. The only place in the Word of God is in chapter 62 of Isaiah that the word Beulah is found. And if you look at the word Beulah, which we'll dig into it hopefully in the message today, it doesn't really fit like it does in that song, but I do believe it does fit some. I tried to read somewhere they say that the song Sweet Beulah Land that Squire Parsons wrote that we sang isn't really in the Bible like that. But you know what? I think it is in some ways. And we'll try to see that today, hopefully. Okay? Now, it does have a different meaning in Isaiah chapter 62 than it does in that song. But I believe all of us are looking forward to Sweet Beulah Land, aren't we? I like that line where it says, there, my faith will end in sight. Don't you? You know, we can't see the Lord Jesus in our life, can we? He's not right here with us. We can't reach out and touch Him. But boy, spiritually, we can see Him, can't we? But isn't that going to be a good day when we see the Lord and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for dying for me on the cross of Calvary. Oh, wow, what a thought. What an idea. What a thing to think about. Isaiah chapter 62, I want to ask you this. Do you believe the Word of God is true? Do you believe that what God says will happen? And here's what I want you to think about today. And here's something that I want us to dwell on a little bit today. You know, the Old Testament was God's chosen people. Israel had a lot of issues, a lot of problems, but God kept trying to lead them. And God kept trying to get them to be on the straight and narrow path and do what He asked them to do. But you know, some people would look around and say, well, God gave up on them, and now He's got the New Testament. The New Testament came out to the Gentiles, or came out to us. It came out to the church of God, and He's leaving the Israelites and the Jews behind. I don't believe that, do you? I don't believe that. If God made a promise, it's going to happen. It doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter what we feel. It doesn't matter where we go with it. It doesn't matter what the President of the United States says about the Word of God. The Word of God's true. The Word of God is going to come to pass. You and I can say we believe in it or not. I heard a little bit of a message this morning, early this morning on the TV, where the preacher was saying that you better put your faith and trust in the Word of God, and the church you go to better preach and teach the Word of God. And I believe that. I believe that. This world don't agree with that today, do they? This world wants to turn the book around and say, well, you know, it don't really mean that. Here's what it really means, and here's what we really should do, and here's where it really should be. But we shouldn't take the Word of God and try to make it to fit what we want it to be. We should take the Word of God for the truth that God's meant for it to be, okay? But I believe that you and I today need to realize, by looking at the world around about us and looking at the things that are going on, it's easy to doubt things that are in the Word of God now, isn't it? It's easy to look around and say, where is God in this day and age with the things that are happening and things that are going on? And I'm going to tell you something, God's not asleep. This Word of God tells us that we're going to read today. God is persistent. God is still on the throne. God is still doing what needs to be done. We don't understand it and we don't agree with it sometimes. But I'm glad that it's God that's in charge and not man, aren't you? I'm glad that it is. Isaiah chapter 62, beginning with verse 1, the Word of God says this. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord hath sworn by his right hand, and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the strangers shall not drink thy wine for the which thou hast labored, but they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of thy holiness. Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. Thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. Look at the last two verses of chapter 61. Chapter 61, verse 10, it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Let's read from Isaiah chapter 62 and part of 61. Let's have another word of prayer today. Our Father, we praise thy holy name again that we can be here. Lord, help us today to hear the word of God with our hearts, to hear the word of God in our ears, to put the word of God into our feet and to do what you would have us to do. Lord, I praise thy name that this place over the years has given out the gospel and preached the truth. And Lord, I believe that there's so much doubt in the world today. The people looking around and saying, when are you coming, Lord? When are you coming? But they doubt it a lot of times of their life. We doubt it by the way that we live and by the things that we do. We don't trust you. We don't believe in you enough. Help us today to realize that salvation cometh and your reward is with you. Therefore, help us to be prepared. Help us to be ready. Help us to be thy people doing the will of God. Help us in this place today to worship you. Lord, I want to thank you and praise you for who you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. I've looked at this a lot the last couple of days. One commentary, I read something that I'll share with you. The preacher in that commentary was saying that when he was in school, there was one of them in school that they picked on and they picked about a lot. He was from Canada and he said that he would go out at night, this boy would, and look up at the stars and start saying, oh Lord, when are you coming? Oh Lord, please come today. He said after a while they realized that he was doing it every time before he had a test in Hebrew at class. He was wanting the Lord to come. Well, they said the boy graduated, and when he graduated, the day after graduation, he was going to get married. Said he went out that night, looked up to the Lord, says, Lord, please don't come tonight. Let's wait a few more days. Well, you know, that's the way we are with our life, aren't we, a lot of times? We want the Lord in our life, but we want him on our conditions, on our timetable, and when we think he should come, and when we think he should do this and do that. But if you look around today, like I said, a lot of people would think God's not with his people Israel. God's not with his chosen people. But the scripture that we read today says that he is. And I believe he'll never turn his back on him. He turned his back on his son, didn't he? When he hung on the cross of Calvary, but he'll never, never turn his back on his people. And I believe this chapter 62 is written to the Jews back in this day, but I also believe it was written to all God's people. And we'll try to see that today. We'll try to show you some things today. But here in Isaiah chapter 62, verse 1, God has promised to Zion and Jerusalem and all his people righteousness and salvation. If you and I today were to look at the world and the way things are going, the way things are going here in the United States, if we were to look at it, we would say, boy, the Christian's losing out, isn't he? I'm going to tell you, he is. Wouldn't you say that? If anybody's rights are being taken away, it's the Christian. Because we aren't supposed to stand up here and say what's wrong with people. We aren't supposed to stand up here and say that God says this and God says that, and you better trust it, you better believe it. Because that makes us hateful people if we say that. The world wants to say that God loves everybody. And I'm going to tell you something. God does love everybody. That's why God sent salvation to the world for everybody. God don't want anybody to perish, does he? He wants all to come to salvation. He wants all to have righteousness in their life. And here he said in verse 1, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest. He made these promises here. But let me ask you this. What do you think that the people of God's people back in the Old Testament thought about this? Go to Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49. Beginning with verse 8, it says, thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, the cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoner, go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pasture shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor the sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains away, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north and from the west and from the land of Sinan. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon the afflicted. But what did the people say? Look at verse 14. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Is that too easy to have in our life sometimes? Sometimes do we have a pity party for ourselves and say, nobody's helping me. Nobody's with me. He says here, but Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Do you think God forgets his people? No. God does not forget his people. Verse 13, I like that verse in Isaiah 49. It says, sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Now, here's what I think. You and I were born in sin, right? We're sinful people by nature. But when the Lord God Almighty sent Jesus to die on the cross of Calvary for us, he gave a way of escape, didn't he? And when we ask the Lord Jesus to be our Savior in our life, we can put on his righteousness. We have his salvation within inside of us. And I believe that work is eternal and it's not going to change. You and I can become doubters. We can become people that question the Lord, but he will never, never forsake us. I'll never forget this. It happened several years ago. I was at a funeral home on visitation, going through the line, speaking to the family. And I knew this family very well. When I got to the mother of the young lady that had died, she looked at me in tears and said, I'll never see my daughter again. And I looked at her as plain as I could. And I says, you're trusting in how she was living now. But I believe the Lord saved her. And I believe you'll see her in heaven, because salvation of the Lord is eternal. And I don't believe, now you may think I'm wrong, and you may say that I'm crazy, but I don't believe that we can take ourselves out of the hand of God once we are covered by the blood. I believe that. I believe that God's salvation is eternal. And God will preserve us, and God will save us, and God will keep us where we ought to be. We may not follow Him. We may not be what we should be for Him. But He'll never forsake us, because the trust is in Him and His work that He's done. Do you see that? I believe that's here. He said in chapter 62 again, "For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as a brightness and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth." He says you're going to have righteousness. You're going to have salvation in your life. And I believe that God has a plan for His people. God has a plan for the Jews, but I believe God has a plan for you and I too. And I believe that He shows forth these plans. Look at Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, beginning with verse 6, it says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him and our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing wherein I sent it." Whereto I sent it. Do you see that? You and I can take the word of God, and we can use it in our life, but it's going to come back. It's going to do the work that God wants us to do. Now I want you to look at something else. Some of my favorite scriptures in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. Do you not believe that God has a plan for you and I? Ephesians 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." I don't understand that verse, but it's in the Word of God, and I believe it. Look at verse 5. "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the blood, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in that in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time," we don't know when that is, but God does, "He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that holy seal of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." You know you're sealed? Well, I tell you what. When Elaine wants me to go downstairs and get some green beans that have been sealed up in a quart jar for a while and bring them upstairs and cook them, well, I hope that seal's not broken, right? Because they sure are good when they taste just as fresh as if you got them out of the garden. But you and I are sealed. We're sealed. It's not going to change. And God has a plan for us. God has a purpose for us. So we see we have this great promise. This is a great promise because look at it. It's a great promise because of the ones involved. It involves God and His people. God and His people is a great promise. It's a great promise because of the transformation. There's going to be righteousness that's going to come in. There's going to be salvation that's going to come in. It's also a great promise because it is seen worldwide. Did you see that part of chapter 62, verse 1 or verse 2. It says, "And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory." The Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. Now, I don't understand everything from the Word of God. I'll be honest with you. But I do understand enough to know this. I believe that when the end time comes, and all the people that have rejected Jesus are brought before the Lord, He's going to look at them and He's going to say, "See, you missed out on the righteousness and the salvation that I had for you. But you see all these that have partook of it? You see all these?" It's going to be millions, I believe. I believe it's going to be millions that partook of the salvation, the righteousness of the Lord. And He's going to look at them and He's going to say, "You Gentiles, you unbelievers, shall see thy righteousness." And then it says, "And all kings thy glory." I believe there's been kings in days gone by. If you think about it, especially back in the Pharaoh's day, boy, they thought they were the one on the throne, didn't they? They thought they were the one lifted up high. And everybody had to do what they did. And everybody had to do what they asked. But there's going to be a lot of kings that's going to see those that they harmed and those that they did wrong to. But now these are the children of God that are going to take their place in heaven. So you see, it's going to be worldwide. It's going to be seen worldwide. This promise is a glorious promise because of the divine name change. Look at the last part of verse 2. It says, "Thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name." You know, I don't know what all this means exactly. But can you imagine when the Lord looked at Simon and says, "You'll now be called Peter," changing your name to Peter. He was called Simon Peter a lot. But the Lord changed his name, didn't he? But it says here that the Lord's going to give a new name. Look at Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah 33, beginning verse 14, it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. For in these days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." You know, wouldn't it be good to be called the righteousness of the Lord, the righteousness of God? So there's going to be a name change. Look at Revelation chapter 2. And chapter 3 has a verse also that talks about this name change. Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." Look at chapter 3 and verse 12 of Revelation. "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven, my God, and I will write upon him my new name." We might not like our name now. We might. I don't know. But we're going to be given a new name. But let me tell you this. I have a lot of problem with Clifton. And to have a new name might be the best thing. Be called a new name because of the righteousness, because of the salvation of the Lord that's upon us. We're going to get rid of all this. It's also a glorious promise because of the majestic beauty. Verse 3 says, "Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God." Wow. A crown of glory? A royal diadem? You know, if you think about it, when you're a crown of glory, you have praise, you have honor, you have worship. And when you're a royal diadem, but you're in the hand of the Lord, is there nowhere better to be? Nowhere better to be but in the hand of the Lord. Look at Isaiah chapter 59. I'll read a couple of verses there at the end of the chapter and a couple of verses at the beginning of chapter 60. Isaiah 59 and verse 20, it says, "And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from the transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." Verse 3 says, "And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." Did you see that again? The Gentiles, the kings, it's still worldwide. It's going to be seen that we have this majestic beauty, that we're a crown of glory and we're a royal diadem in the hand of the Lord. But also, it's a glorious promise, because verse 4 says, "Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married." It's a glorious promise because it involves acceptance and security. Acceptance because it says you no longer are going to be called forsaken. How many people today in this world would look at us and say, "You're crazy going there to worship the Lord. You're crazy to go there to that house. You can worship Him just as good at home. You can do other things. You can do this. You can do that." And we're really forsaken because of these things. But also it says, "And any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah." Well, Hephzibah is having that saying meaning the Lord delighteth in thee. And Beulah here has that meaning of married. You're married. Now let me ask you something. If you're married, you know it, right? Now, my finger's been swelling a lot lately. For a few weeks I had my ring off, but I never forgot I wasn't married. I still had a ring there. It's been there permanent pretty much. But I'm telling you this, I know I'm married, and if I don't know it, my wife will tell me. Mike, do you have that issue too? She'll tell you, right? I'm picking a little bit here, but here's what I'm going to tell you. I believe that when the Lord comes back, starts setting up His kingdom and ruling and reigning, you and I will be with Him. We'll be married to Him, so to speak. We'll have Him in our presence. And when you have that spouse in your presence, isn't that good? Huh. Some of you miss your spouse, don't you? Because they've already gone on. But I'll tell you this, when the Lord is present with us, it says you'll be called Beulah. Your land will be called Beulah, because it says here in this verse, thy land shall be married. Huh. I'm going to tell you what, the Lord's presence being here is going to make it worth it all. The Lord's presence of us being with Him is going to be worth it all. I was talking about that song that we sung, when our faith becomes sight in the Lord, it's going to be worth it all. Worth it all. Because it involves acceptance and security. Aren't you glad that even here it says, thou going to have a new name, because thou shalt be called Hephzibah. Hephzibah. The Lord delighteth in thee. Aren't you glad that we're the delight of the Lord? You know, there's a lot of things we delight in, isn't it? I still hear people this week talking about your ice cream, Jack, you and Sue made, that was good last week when we had some homemade ice cream. A lot of people delight in different things, but we're going to be the delight of the Lord. The delight of the Lord. But you see here, here's another thing that I want you to think about. We're going to be together. We're going to be together with the Lord. But look at Psalm 113. Psalm 113. "Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelleth on high, who humbled himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, lifted the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with the princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren women to keep house and to be joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. You know, this verse 3 here, it says, from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Does it say you're to take a break during the day and not praise the Lord? No. It says from the rising of the sun till the going down of the same. We're to praise the Lord all the time. No matter what's happening in our life. No matter what's going on. He was telling his people Israel, he was telling the Jewish nation, no matter that you're in captivity, you're still mine. You put yourself there. We read some verses. It says you put yourself there. You cost yourself to be there. But you see, this promise is a glorious promise also because verse 5 talks about the ecstatic joy. Whereas a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. You know, I've been married a good while now, but I can still remember the day I got married. I can still remember the joyful times, and it's been joyful, don't get me wrong. I know my wife's not here today, but I'm telling you, the joyful time that a bride and a bridegroom have. But the ecstatic joy that comes, and it's pictured here in a marriage ceremony. And let me ask you this, does the Word of God say that we're going to marry Jesus? The church is going to marry Jesus. I believe the Israelites are going to marry the Lord God Almighty. There's going to be marriage ceremonies going on. There's going to be happy times because we're always going to be with Him. We're always going to be there. But this promise, there's some guarantees here, and I'm going to have to cover these quickly if I cover them. But there's a guarantee of fulfillment of the promise. Look at verse 6. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. These watchmen were appointed. These watchmen were alert. These watchmen were sending out alarm. Can you imagine the watchman on the wall of Jerusalem? And he's hollering out this from the wall. Behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him. Should you and I be doing that today? Yeah, we should. Should we be living today as if the Lord's coming back right now at this moment, at any time? Yes, we should. God's people need to be a watchman on the wall, telling those right about us that, hey, the Lord is going to return. The Lord's going to come. You need to be ready. You need to be prepared. You need to be doing your part to get there. The Word of God says it's going to happen, and it's going to happen. No matter what it looks like in Israel today, literally. No matter what it looks like in Jerusalem today. No matter what it looks like in the United States today. No matter what it looks like in Graham, North Carolina today. But the Lord's going to return. The Lord's going to come. Do we live like we believe that? I'm looking forward to Beulah Land. But do we show that forth to others around about us? Do we share the gospel? Do we give it out? Do we believe in the Word of God? I believe this Word of God here tells us in verse 10 to go. It says, go through the gates, prepare you the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up the standard. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Now I read for you today Ephesians chapter 1. Where it said, before the foundation of the world, we were called. We were predestined. And I believe that. It's in the Word of God. I don't understand it all, but I believe that. But I believe even right here in verse 12 where it says we're called, call them the holy people. Call them the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called salt out, a city not forsaken. Boy, Jerusalem could be bombed today. And it could be, couldn't it? This world, there's bombs in it that could kill a whole, take out a whole place, right? We've seen it happen. I mean, when I say that, it's happened just before some of our lifetimes in World War II, right? Cities were taken away. It could happen again today. But I'll tell you this, God has not forsaken his people. And God has not forsaken Jerusalem. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that there's going to be a new Jerusalem, doesn't it? It's going to come down. It's going to be a new one. Do you and I trust the Lord today? Do we believe God and his word? When Jesus left his apostles, when he left his disciples, or before he left them, in John 14, what did he say? Look at John 14 really quick. We'll close. Patsy, if you want to be coming to the piano. John 14, it says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Aren't you glad that's in the Word of God? Aren't you glad that Jesus promised that I'm going to go away, but I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back. Wednesday night I read some scriptures from the book of John where Jesus looked at his apostles, looked at his disciples, says, a little while you're going to see me and I'm going to be gone. But he says, but you're going to rejoice. And when he appeared to them in the upper room, the Bible says when they saw him and he showed his hands with the scars in them and he showed his pierced side, the Bible says they rejoiced. One of these days, you and I are going to be rejoicing with the Lord Jesus. But we need to be rejoicing now because the promise, and it's just as true to happen as if we're standing or sitting here today, the Lord, his salvation's coming, and his righteousness and his reward is with him. Are we ready? I hope we are.